you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. This edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop, located at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear when men were men and women were smart enough to let them believe they were in charge. Kind of like today, huh? No, I guess it should have been those thrilling days of yesteryear when men were men and they cooked outdoors over an open flame. Also, kind of like today, huh? You know, it's kind of funny how history repeats itself. Cooking has evolved so much over the last 100 to 200 years, and yet we're still cooking outdoors over an open flame. Just like we did during the days of the Old West or the thrilling days of yesteryear. Now, by the way, any of you old-timers want to venture a guess as to where that line comes from? Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. Yeah, if you instantly said, the Lone Ranger, you are right. And you are officially older than Rodney Dangerfield's jokes. Or as I like to say, old enough to have lived through the hardships of youth without being able to Google all the answers to life. You remember that old phrase, old enough to know better, but young enough to do it anyway? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm still waiting for that old enough to know better thing to kick in. As far as I'm concerned, I'm old enough to make my own decisions, but I'm just not young enough to remember what it was I decided. I mean, if my body was a car, I'd have traded it in for a newer model by now, because every time I cough or sneeze, my radiator leaks and my exhaust backfires. I'm a grandfather now, but I'm proud to say I'd still rather sit at the kiddie table on Thanksgiving Day. Well, it's more fun. And in some ways, I'm just proud that God has let me live this long, because Lord knows when I was young, I did just about everything I could think of to kill myself. But here I am, old enough to collect what little remains of Social Security. Oh, okay, I got that out of my system. Let's talk about something else now, before I forget what this show is supposed to be all about in the first place. One of my favorite parts of being the man in the box, as I say, or a radio personality, is getting to know listeners. And one of the best ways I can do that is simply by reading your messages to us on our Facebook page, which is simply The Outdoor Cooking Show. Now, just send us a private message. Keep the four-letter words to a minimum, and who knows, you might even hear me reading your message on the air. In fact, we've been doing this show since July, and we've had more comments about lose the holiday weight than any other show so far. And as a matter of fact, here's one right here. Randy, you mentioned the paleo diet gets its name from Paleolithic, but you really didn't tell us what the paleo diet is. Can you explain? Well, sure. Like my business partner, John Shelton, said on the Lose the Holiday Weight episode, I'm not really a nutritionist or a dietitian, but as I understand it, and as Google explained it to me, when you follow the paleo diet, you only eat what cavemen and women ate during the Paleolithic period. That's why they even sometimes call it the caveman diet. Cave persons were hunters and gatherers, so they only ate what they could forage in the wild or grow or kill and then cook over an open flame. So that's what modern-day people eat on the paleo diet. Now, it would be perfectly reasonable for you to ask at this point, well, how is that so drastically different from what we eat today that you could lose weight? It's not just what you eat on the paleo diet. It's how the food is prepared. For instance, cavemen couldn't deep-fat fry food. They had to grill it over an open flame. And you don't have to be Rachel Ray to know that that's a much more healthy way to eat than if you batter fish and drop it in the grease. Now, I'll admit, deep fat fried taste great, but there are ways, creative ways, to make grilled fish taste good too. Then, also, the paleo diet avoids the use of salt and sugar because, after all, the imperial plant in Sugarland was still a few thousand years away, and cavemen hadn't really figured out how to grind salt into spice. So you get the general idea. Now, we featured a dietitian on that show, and he even has a master's degree in nutrition, and I just flat dropped the ball. I should have asked him more about the paleo diet, so we're going to have him back to talk about that. And other diets, too, like Atkins and some of those commercial weight loss programs, and I want to do that real soon. In fact, ding, 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 idea, send us the questions you'd like for me to ask about diet and weight loss, and I'll squeeze those in. Again, just send us a message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show. But enough about losing weight. Let's talk about the good stuff. Today's edition of The Outdoor Cooking Show is going to deal with winter fish. Most of you already know this, but I definitely did not. There are certain kinds of fish that are simply better in the winter. You remember that old saying, it applied to oysters, I believe, that oysters are supposed to be best during months with the letter R, September, October, November, December, January. Well, according to some experts, that generally applies to all fish. But again, according to Google, that especially applies to cod, haddock, monkfish. I must admit I don't eat those kinds of fish very often. But of course, it also refers to shellfish like shrimp and lobster and crab and crawfish. Crawfish boils are very popular in Louisiana. And you know by now that I'm married to a Louisiana girl, so I've attended quite a few crawfish boils. My daughter went to LSU, and she gained an affinity for crawfish boils while she was there. But our church, Sugar Land Baptist, has hosted a men's crawfish boil every year for quite a while now. Women are more than welcome to come eat, but the male deacons organize the event and they do all the cooking. So here's how the deacons do it at our church. All of this is based on 40 to 45 pounds of crawfish, big bags. That's actually pretty small by comparison to what they usually boil up. They use 20-gallon crawfish pots with baskets or lids. Sometimes some of those turkey fryers with a propane burner, anything like that will work. But anyway, for 40 to 45 pounds of crawfish, they use 2 sticks of unsalted butter, a 4.5-pound bag of crawfish, crab, shrimp, boil seasoning, 5 pounds of #1 red potatoes. They clean them, but they don't peel them. That's supposed to be important. And then 24 ears of corn. They shuck them, but then they cut them into halves and thirds. Now, these are guys with last names like Fontenot, Thibodeau, Guidry. So they make their own seasoning mixture. And I asked them for the recipe, but about all I could get was, oh, a little of this and a lot of that. Now, for me, Zatarain's or Tony Sachery's would be just fine, but not them. No, 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 no. Basically, all I could get out of them was that it's a blend of salt and cayenne pepper, garlic powder, onion powder, lemon juice, you know, and a little of this and a lot of that. I don't think Julian Assange could even drag it out of them. So for a 20-gallon crawfish pot, they use 11 gallons of water, or about halfway to the top. I just imagine halfway to the top is about as scientific as it gets with these guys. But remember, you got to leave room for the potatoes and the corn and the crawfish that you add. Otherwise, water's going to spill over the edge. Duh. So they like to boil the potatoes first for about 15 minutes. Then they add the corn, leave the potatoes in, for 15 minutes more. They taste test them for doneness. Then they dump them into a cooler, close the lid to keep them warm. Then you pour the crawfish in the same water, same seasoning, boil them for 15 minutes, but don't take them out yet. You turn the heat off and allow the crawfish to simmer in the liquid for another 15 minutes. Then when they're ready, you dump the crawfish, the potatoes, and the corn out onto newspaper-covered tables. Because at crawfish boils, presentation is very important. Then they sprinkle more spice on about half of them. I asked why just half of them. They said so that everybody can choose how much spice they want. And voila, mudbug madness. It's so good that the deacons at our church call it their version of the Last Supper. You can almost envision Da Vinci's painting with the Apostle Peter pouring all the crawfish on the table out in front of Jesus and everybody. And then sometimes they'll add shrimp too, just to offer a little variety. But do it outdoors, unless you want the house to smell like a fish market for the next 3 days. So let's get this party started, oh me my yes. Or as anglers like to say,
you gonna talk or you gonna fish?
If your barbecue has gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Randy Hames here, and my salsa has to pass the chip test. That's why I personally recommend Jake's Atomic Salsa. Jake Johnson isn't your typical middle school student. He's picky about salsa, too, so he developed his own. And it was so good, his friends asked him to sell them some, and Jake's Atomic Salsa was born. Jake's Atomic Salsa has a hearty blend of tomatoes, plus roasted poblano, serrano, jalapeno, and habanero peppers. It also includes lots of fresh lemon and lime juice to add bright notes, with no large chunks of onion or cilantro. Jake's Atomic Salsa comes in four different flavors, from mild to out-of-this-world spicy, and goes great with eggs, enchiladas, meatloaf, Bloody Marys, or just pour it over cream cheese. It's the best salsa you've ever tasted, and all the profits go to pay for Jake's college education. Check out Jake's Atomic Salsa on Facebook, and go to jakesatomicsalsa.com to order a few jars, or try the variety pack with all four flavors. I know, you'll agree with me, Jake's Atomic Salsa is the bomb. Creekstone Outdoor Living. The name says it all. If you like being outdoors in your own space, you'll love Creekstone Outdoor Living. Located on the north side of Houston, Creekstone Outdoor Living has grills, lighting, appliances, pizza ovens, furniture, and even a design studio at 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60 in Spring, Texas, just off the Grand Parkway. If you love your backyard, Creekstone Outdoor Living has everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the Backyard Paradise Specialists. They also carry the quality brands you love, like Yeti, RCX, Lynx, Fire Magic, Weber, American Muscle Grill, The Big Green Egg, Coppersmith, and many more. Just looking for some storage for the game or fishing? No problem. The Yeti Tundra Coolers are perfect for the job and come in sizes weighing up to 90 pounds. And if you're looking for some great design ideas, inspiration, or even some of their work, visit their website at www.creekstoneoutdoors.com. Creekstone Outdoor Living, the Backyard Paradise Specialists, 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60, Spring, Texas, 713-389-5936. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Huh, like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm and Creek Smokehouse on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the Grill Father, Randy Haynes.
He's back. It's Texas City Dave, Dave Fremont, who's here representing one of our most beloved sponsors, Boyd's One Stop, at the base of the Texas City Dike. How you been doing, Dave?
Just fine, Randy, and good to see you. Glad to be here again.
Just out of interest, I Googled Dave Fremont, Texas City. The first thing was your Facebook page, which has a very nice picture of you and your lovely wife, Billy. How did you get such a beauty?
I'm still paying by the month.
But the next thing that popped up on that Google list was Texas City Dave, ? Texas shark fishing. Is that you or is there another Texas City Dave?
That is a group of fishermen that was quite active some time ago, and I was a member of it, and we'd do a little bit of shark fishing, and a lot of those fellows still do. The internet and Facebook is full of groups of fishing folks.
But was that you?
Yes.
Ah, okay. I just didn't know you had gone from eating to being eaten. And all Googling and giggling aside, let's get to more important matters. So what's going on at Boyd's One Stop these days?
Right now, Randy, the password is crawfish.
I'm sure.
Very early in the season, but the weather's been crazy, hot and then cold. The mud bugs don't know what's going on in Louisiana, but we're able to get some. The customers this time of year with the playoffs, football playoffs, NFL, they want crawfish. So we've been reaching out and touching some of the farmers over in Louisiana. Their first year, young crawfish, small to medium, but very tender and delicious, easy to peel.
Now, you're building a new facility. We talked about that the last time I was down there visiting with you. How's that coming along?
Right now, with the crawfish season, we're not doing too much with it. There's probably going to be about 10 million crawfish in the way until we get the season. But I would say, and Jason has assured me, that we won't spend another winter in the facility. So if things go right, I think we'll break ground shortly after the crawfish season in July or so.
Uh-huh.
And then hopefully by this time next year, we'll be in the new building.
And for those who like to frequent Boyd's One Stop on their way to the Texas City Dike, not to worry, it's going to be right there at the same spot.
Yes, sir. Same spot. We'll build the new facility behind where we're located presently, and then all of that area will be a parking lot, and we've got big plans for other things such as boat stalls, car washes, and just a whole lot of things.
Now, I've done some fishing in my time, but I'm not really what I'd call an enthusiast. You are, however. You love to go fishing. But I read an article recently that talked about winter fish, and so that's kind of what we're talking about today on the Outdoor Cooking Show. They specifically mentioned cod, haddock, and monkfish. Do we even have those kinds of fish in Texas?
No, we don't. We've got some close cousins to some, but those are northern varieties of fish. And cod, that's an excellent, beautiful fish. Folks up around the northeast and as far as up into Newfoundland, even up in the reaches of Canada, cod fishing was a big thing. And cod is an excellent, dense white meat fish that's used in a lot of recipes.
Now, this article also suggested that fishing is better in colder months than it is in warmer months. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think it can be for certain varieties and species of fish.
Like what?
Well, it has a lot to do with the migration patterns to a fish. And, for example, flounder, which I've mentioned before is my favorite fish to catch and eat.
Mm-hmm.
As flounder migrate into the Gulf of Mexico, they all start making their trip in late September, October, and they start fattening up, and they travel and migrate out into the Gulf of Mexico where they spawn, and then they return in the later months and the early months of the spring around March and April. And so during that period of time where they're spawning, that's the time when they really bunch up and we have an opportunity to catch quite a few of them. But in terms of catching fish in Galveston Bay in the Gulf of Mexico, you can catch fish year-round, cold weather, hot weather, cold water, hot water.
I visited this website I was just talking about, and they talked about winter fishing techniques. But I should have known something was up when the picture at the top of the homepage was a cartoon of a guy all bundled up like an Eskimo pulling a fish out of a hole in the ice. So is that what this is all about? They're talking about fishing in the north rather than down here, right?
I believe so, yes. It's an interesting, and I like to see it. I like to see the ice fishermen, something that we would, I hope, never have happen here. But it's interesting nevertheless, and it's once again, it's man getting out, catching something to eat, and fishing goes a lot in that regard.
So they did have some good advice. They talked about not fishing on a body of water that had a strong current. Do you agree?
Well, from a safety point of view, and then also if the current is really strong, it makes it difficult to deploy your bait, keep it in the water, and you'd have to weight it down quite a bit more. So there's things to think about in terms of conditions.
And, of course, there's this awful story of these three young men who went hunting and the boat capsized on their way to the blind. And, oh, my goodness. So you do have to be careful. There are dangers involved that you need to avoid.
That's exactly right. We really push safety, and we mention that a lot on our Facebook and on our website. We want folks to know to be safe on the water.
And they also mentioned cold fronts, warm fronts, that the passage of a front affects fishing. Namely, they suggested that fishing is best right before a front comes through and not as good after the front goes through. Agree, disagree?
Many times I'd have to agree with that.
Why is that so, Dave?
Well, because a lot of folks believe that barometric pressure plays a part in terms of the feeding patterns of fish. And I have found that just prior to a cool front or a cold front coming, if there's a window of opportunity where the wind lies down just before that big old front comes in, a lot of times that's a time when we can really catch some quality fish.
And they also mentioned that they think in winter months it's best to fish between the hours of 10 to 4, which kind of flies in the face of the old early bird catches the fish and all of that.
I can understand that, but my philosophy is fish when you're not working. No matter what the hours, no matter what the time.
And of course, as you said, crawfish are big this time of year. So tell us your favorite crawfish boil recipe.
Well, it's very simple. That's one of the things I like about crawfish is that you don't have to go crazy and think too much. And I think that's what makes them popular is that people gather for fun. They throw in some crab boil. It can be just about any brand, make, or we have different ones at the store, different brands.
Which one do you suggest?
A lot of times we use Zatarain's. That's one. That's a popular
Tony Chachere?
Tony Chachere's. When you go down the spice aisle at one of the major grocery stores, you can just pick and choose any one of those that are popular sellers, and you can't go wrong. It's very simple. You just follow the directions. Some folks like to add a little bit of this or that. Sometimes we'll add a little bit of heat to it. We'll add a little more crab boil spice to kind of fire it up a bit.
Now, give us the steps you go through in a crawfish boil.
Well, most of the time it's as simple as we like to purge the crawfish first. We like to put them in water and we infuse it with 100% oxygen. Keeps the crawfish alive, and it also helps purge their system of impurities. And after about a 30-minute purge, we take them from there. We get the water hot in the pot. We dump those in and we add our spices, and then at the same time we'll start adding potatoes and corn. And it's a little bit of time sensitive things there where you do it a few minutes before or after to where one thing doesn't get cooked before the other. It kind of all comes together. Very simple, easy to do.
So you do the crawfish first and then throw the potatoes and the corn in later.
And sometimes we'll even kind of parboil those critters.
Say what?
We'll have the potatoes and the corn kind of pre-cooked a little bit, save time, dump them in, and it all comes together.
And then the deacons at our church who do this crawfish boil say they sprinkle a little more seasoning after they dump it all out. They sprinkle a little more seasoning on the crawfish, but only half of it so that people can kind of pick and choose how hot they want it to be.
Right. People do have a lot of times have a choice. Some folks are a little sensitive to the heat, so we try to keep it in between, kind of a middle of the road in terms of spice, and then you can always shake a little more on it, but it's hard to take it away.
Yeah, that is a good point, yeah. So when is dinner served, Dave?
Oh, let's see. What time is it? Let's go. I'm hungry.
It's time to eat. We are always happy to host Texas City Dave Fremont, even though he's not the Texas City Dave of Texas shark fishing fame anymore. But he is proud to speak on behalf of one of our most trusted sponsors, Boyd's One Stop, at the base of the Texas City Dike. What is the exact address of Boyd's One Stop, Dave?
We're located on the Texas City Dike, and the address is 227 Dike Road, Texas City, Texas.
And your website?
It's boydsonestop.com, and on Facebook, it's Boyd's One Stop. We also have the Cajun Grill next door, which is Boyd's Cajun Grill Express. And we're just chomping at the bit to serve you folks.
Speaking of chomping at the bit, you want some sushi?
Yes.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off.
The Outdoor Cooking Show will be back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame after this short break.
Nothing beats farm fresh produce. Roadside stands are great, but not always well stocked. But Froberg's Farm on Highway 6 in Alvin always has produce fresh from the field. You can't get produce this fresh in stores. Froberg's has a spacious covered market, or you can pick your own produce if you prefer. This time of year is great for cabbage, cauliflower, collard and mustard greens, turnips, radishes, rutabagas, kumquats, even Brussels sprouts, and a whole lot more. Fruits, vegetables, jams, jellies, pickles, and a huge selection of dried beans and peas. And Froberg's Farm is famous for its pies, both traditional homemade or fried pies, with over 20 different flavors. Order in advance, and Froberg's can have as many as you need ready for pickup. And be sure you visit Greek Smokehouse right next door while you're there. Froberg's Farm, only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Froberg's Farm. Farm fresh produce since 1936. Creekstone Outdoor Living. The name says it all. If you like being outdoors in your own space, you'll love Creekstone Outdoor Living. Located on the north side of Houston, Creekstone Outdoor Living has grills, lighting, appliances, pizza ovens, furniture, and even a design studio at 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60 in Spring, Texas, just off the Grand Parkway. If you love your backyard, Creekstone Outdoor Living has everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the Backyard Paradise Specialists. They also carry the quality brands you love, like Yeti, RCX, Lynx, Fire Magic, Weber, American Muscle Grill, The Big Green Egg, Coppersmith, and many more. Just looking for some storage for the game or fishing? No problem. The Yeti Tundra Coolers are perfect for the job and come in sizes weighing up to 90 pounds. And if you're looking for some great design ideas, inspiration, or even some of their work, visit their website at www.creekstoneoutdoors.com. Creekstone Outdoor Living, the Backyard Paradise Specialists, 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60, Spring, Texas, 713-389-5936. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Randy Hames here, and my salsa has to pass the chip test. That's why I personally recommend Jake's Atomic Salsa. Jake Johnson isn't your typical middle school student. He's picky about salsa, too, so he developed his own. And it was so good, his friends asked him to sell them some, and Jake's Atomic Salsa was born. Jake's Atomic Salsa has a hearty blend of tomatoes, plus roasted poblano, serrano, jalapeno, and habanero peppers. It also includes lots of fresh lemon and lime juice to add bright notes, with no large chunks of onion or cilantro. Jake's Atomic Salsa comes in 4 different flavors, from mild to out-of-this-world spicy, and goes great with eggs, enchiladas, meatloaf, Bloody Marys, or just pour it over cream cheese. It's the best salsa you've ever tasted, and all the profits go to pay for Jake's college education. Check out Jake's Atomic Salsa on Facebook, and go to jakesatomicsalsa.com to order a few jars, or try the variety pack with all 4 flavors. I know, you'll agree with me, Jake's Atomic Salsa is the bomb.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the daddy-o of the patio, Randy Hames.
We are proud to talk to Kitty Bailey, who is the owner and executive chef at Costa Brava Bistro on Bel Air Boulevard at Rice in Bel Air. Hi, Kitty.
Hi, Randy. How are you today?
Doing very well. You and your business partner, Angelus Dueñas, have over 60 years combined experience in the hospitality industry. Tell us how you got started.
I was actually in college. My first year was in New Orleans at Tulane University, and don't tell my mom, but I sold my board ticket back to the university the first week, so I needed to feed myself. It seemed natural to go into the restaurant business, so I could complimentary food and beverage. True story.
So Angeles is a native of Spain, is that right?
Madrid, to be exact, yes.
Ah, and she moved to Houston, oddly enough, same year I began working on the Hudson and Harrigan Show, 1980. So give us the names of some of the establishments the two of you have worked for over the years that we would likely recognize.
Gosh, going back that far, most of them aren't even in business anymore. But Angeles' longest tenure, you would know, with the Cordua restaurants, Churrasco's, America's, Artista Downtown. She was with the company over 18 years as in management.
And both of you have formal training. Fill us in on those details.
Formal training in the restaurant business, it really has been on-the-job training. I started as a cocktail waitress, and basically it took me 30 years to move my way up through waiter, bartender, manager, general manager, and now owner.
Ah, I see.
The same with Angeles as well. So, I mean, we didn't go to school. As far as formal training, it's all been working our way up through the restaurant business, and in my case, catering as well.
So how was Costa Brava Bistro born?
Well, Angeles and I met working at Chintani. A lot of Houstonians might remember Chintani over off Shepherd.
Sure.
We met there in 1991, and her dream, part of her dream in coming to America, the United States, specifically West University is where she landed, was to always open a restaurant. And of course, she wanted it to be a Spanish restaurant. So we became friends back then working, and we just off and on talked about it over the years. Then it got to the point where she was very, very serious, and I had always kind of drugged my feet, and I finally said, sure, sounds like a good idea. She said, I want you to be in the kitchen. I said, sure. But I want French as well. It has to be a combination of French-Spanish. And she said, sure. And so that's how the idea sort of manifested and grew, and, you know, and we opened in August of 2012.
So it's fairly obvious from your explanation and also from looking at your website that Costa Brava Bistro is a Spanish-French fusion restaurant. What can we expect to find on your menu?
A wide variety of classics, as well as sort of my spin on, again, classic and traditional. I love the bistro feel, sort of rustic, but using very high-quality ingredients. I do everything, a lot of game, wild boar, duck, quail. Now we're carrying poussin. I think we're one of the only restaurants who are doing young chicken. Charcuterie, foie gras, octopus. Things like that. Things that you would find on a classic bistro menu in either France or Spain.
Today on the Outdoor Cooking Show, we're focused on winter seafood. And when I started perusing your menu, the very first entree that popped up was Angeles Paella. First of all, did I say paella right?
Yes, Randy, that's correct.
And it's full of shrimp and calamari and mussels, so that's perfect for seafood. Let's talk about paellas. First of all, what is a paella?
Paella, it is essentially a rice dish, a short grain rice dish. That's what separates it from other rice dishes. It originated in the region of Valencia on the Mediterranean coastal side of Spain. That's where the rice is grown. And then it's prepared in a special pan, a kind of a low, shallow, round pan called a paella, which is obviously from paella, meaning paella maker. That's what distinguishes it from any other particular rice dish. A lot of people think saffron, you know, paella has to have saffron, and that's not necessarily true. As a matter of fact, if you go to Valencia where paella originated, you're going to find rabbit, chicken, snails, lots of vegetables, artichoke hearts, beans, whether it's a broad bean or a northern bean or something like that. But that is essentially what a paella is.
We can clearly see that a paella can include all kinds of different meats, beef, chicken, pork, and seafood. In fact, all of those are in Angela's paella. So first, explain in general, how do you prepare a paella, no matter what the meat is?
Well, the beautiful thing about a paella is it's a one-pot dish, basically. You have your paella, rather. basically prep all your ingredients, whether it's your meat, your seafood, your vegetables, and then what we call the paste. This is the very special saffron paste. We do use saffron in ours. It's kind of our secret sauce. White wine, parsley, garlic, the saffron. And once you prepare all your ingredients, have that ready to go, then you start with the hot oil in the paella. You saute your meats. In our case, as you said, we use pork tenderloin, beef tenderloin, boneless, skinless chicken breast. Pull those out, but then you start building the paella from there. You go in with your vegetables. It's basically a sofrito, caramelizing tomato, onion, green bell pepper. Then you add your rice. Then you start adding your stock to cook the rice, almost like people would cook a risotto. The difference is we're not finishing it off in the cheese butter at the end at all. This is more of a stock-based. Once you've added your stock and then your paste, your saffron, garlic, parsley, white wine, and you're cooking the rice. You get it to a certain point, you go in with your seafoods in order of sort of density, if you will, your shrimp, then your mussels, your calamari, reintroduce your meats back in, then take it off the heat, cover it with, we use newspaper. Some people use, you know, like a light towel, we use newspaper. Let it rest for 10, 15 minutes, you're done. So it's great for the outdoor. I have done it so many times. Actually, Angelus gave me this recipe, her grandfather's recipe, right after we met. I've been cooking it for over 20 years, and it's great for a party. People love to come out and just watch the process. It can take up to, depending on the size, 45 minutes to an hour as you're cooking all these ingredients, especially the rice. So it's just perfect for outdoor, you know, and having a gathering, whether it's 10 people or I've done dueling paellas, one on a fire pit, one on a Weber grill, for 30 people. And it was just a whole lot of fun.
So, Kitty, how do you do that? How do you cook this paella over an open flame?
Well, the Weber that I mentioned, the kettle, the round kettle Weber grill is perfect for it. And I've always had the largest one. I think it's a 22-inch. I have two paella pans that I got years and years ago. They're very specific. They have to be carbon steel, two-handled. You don't stir a paella like you stir a risotto. You actually shake it. Shaken, not stirred. I didn't make that up, but it does apply. The round Weber, you know, it fits the paella. I mean, I usually put a couple of bricks on there, and the paella has always been cooked outdoor. One of the things you want the smoke from the grill. I use lump hardwood because I use a whole bag of it in a standard size Weber, so that once it all cooks down, I've got nice heavy embers. And a couple of bricks on the grill. I have a backup grill because I don't want to ruin my regular grill. Put the pan on. Once you get up to heat, you're ready to go. I mean, it's traditionally, paella has always been cooked outside. And the Weber grill is perfect for it because it's round.
This is Kitty Bailey. She is a native Houstonian, and she's the owner and executive chef at Costa Brava Bistro. It's a Spanish-French fusion restaurant. They're located at 5115 Bel Air Boulevard. That's the corner of Bel Air and Rice in Bel Air. Give us your hours of operation, Kitty.
We are open for lunch Monday through Friday from 11 to 2:30. Dinner Monday through Wednesday from 5 to 9, and then dinner Thursday through Saturday from 5 to 10.
And what's the phone number to make reservations?
The telephone number is 713-839-1005.
Kitty, thanks for your time, and thank you for sharing your wonderful recipes. We hope you'll join us again soon.
Thank you very much, Randy. I had a good time.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be back with more food and fun after this break.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200 or NewStarInc.com.
Creekstone Outdoor Living, the name says it all. If you like being outdoors in your own space, you'll love Creekstone Outdoor Living. Located on the north side of Houston, Creekstone Outdoor Living has grills, lighting, appliances, pizza ovens, furniture, and even a design studio at 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60 in Spring, Texas, just off the Grand Parkway. If you love your backyard, Creekstone Outdoor Living has everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the Backyard Paradise Specialists. They also carry the quality brands you love, like Yeti, RCX, Lynx, Fire Magic, Weber, American Muscle Grill, The Big Green Egg, Coppersmith, and many more. Just looking for some storage for the game or fishing? No problem. The Yeti Tundra Coolers are perfect for the job and come in sizes weighing up to 90 pounds. And if you're looking for some great design ideas, inspiration, or even some of their work, visit their website at www.creekstoneoutdoors.com. Creekstone Outdoor Living, the Backyard Paradise Specialists, 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60, Spring, Texas, 713-389-5936. If you love the taste of homemade sausage, Greek Smokehouse at Froberg's Farm in Alvin is an old-fashioned smokehouse with good old-country service. Greek Smokehouse makes 10 different flavors of homemade sausage and smokes them for hours over burning pecan wood. No artificial smoke flavor at Greek's. You'll know that as soon as you walk in the door. Try the house favorite, jalapeno cheese, deer, and pork sausage, or Greek savory boudin, Italian, or summer sausage. The freezer is full of hand-cut ribeye and strip steaks, stuffed pork chops and chicken breasts, stuffed bell peppers, and even peppers stuffed with boudin. And Greek stock seasoning meats to add to your next batch of greens or beans. Nothing's better together than homemade sausage from Greek Smokehouse and fresh veggies from Froberg's Farm right next door. Only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days a week. Greek Smokehouse. Those boys know how to do it.
May the forks be with you. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm and Greek Smokehouse on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the man who turns all the grills on, Randy Haynes.
Kindred spirits are hard to find in life, but I most definitely have one. My former radio partner on the Hudson and Harrigan Show back in the day, Fred Olson. How you doing, Padne?
Brother, I am so fine. The football season is wrapping up, and I'm going to miss it because it's all I really jump into when it comes to sports. So I love football.
Well, Fred and I have bonded over a lot of common interests, obviously radio. But in addition, we are both rabid football fans. So are you guys going to go to NRG Stadium for the Super Bowl this year?
No, we're not going to do that this year. The last time it was there, we left the country because we knew it was going to be crazy in Houston. Literally. I probably should have rented the house. Probably would have made some money.
Yeah, there's a big article about that in the Chronicle about how people are renting their homes out for $1,000 a night.
Gee, I should have done that. Would have paid for the trip. Anyway.
Well, total transparency here. We're recording this interview before the playoffs actually play themselves out.
Yeah.
So we don't really know how the Texans have fared.
We're making it up, but I'm going to say I'm glad we won.
And I'll take your word at it because
it was a miracle. It was amazing. It was a Hail Mary. It was the last second, kind of like the Clemson-Alabama game. We got the touchdown, and yay!
That was a great game, wasn't it? Man, oh, man.
Yes, it was.
And you and I attended a lot of Houston Texans games over the years, not to mention the Oilers back in the Dome.
Oh, yeah.
But I imagine that the atmosphere around the Super Bowl is going to be kind of like a Texans game on steroids. And I had a belly full of that stuff when we were Hudson and Harrigan. So I think I'll just watch from the recliner in my living room. Unless the Texans somehow make the Super Bowl, in which case I wouldn't miss it for the world.
You know, that would be a miracle, and I'd like to be present at a miracle.
And think about this miracle. Wouldn't Texans, by that I mean all people who live in the state of Texas, wouldn't we Texas citizens be totally insufferable if it came down to the Cowboys and the Texans in the Super Bowl in Texas?
Like I said, that would be a miracle, and I'd like to be there.
But on the other hand, I guess every Houston fan's ultimate nightmare would be the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl in NRG Stadium, and I don't even want to think about that, so let's just talk about something else, okay?
Yeah, let's get back to food.
Okay, let's talk about winter seafood. That's what we're talking about today.
Oh.
And I know you and Bev love seafood any time of the year, so what kind of seafoods do you guys normally gravitate toward?
I will tell you that I have to beg her to make this because there are a few calories in it, but it's called the Big Easy Barbecued Shrimp.
Ooh.
And it's to the point where, I mean, there's butter involved, some canola oil and seasonings, but you actually take the shells from the shrimp and you simmer them to make kind of a stock and then reduce that stock to kind of a syrupy base, and there's butter involved and Louisiana hot sauce, and I mean, and some Worcestershire. Honey, is there Worcestershire in that thing? There is, she says, absolutely.
Well, now, wait, Fred. Did you say the shells?
You take the shells and you make a stock. That's how you kind of make a, like, with a fish stock, you use a fish head. With beef stock, you use bones, things like that. Well, you actually, I'm going to tell you where I got it. Is that cool?
Sure.
It's Nordstrom put out a book years ago called Flavors, An Artful Celebration of Food. And there's some stuff in here that'll just, well, it'll blow your mind. And one of them is the Big Easy Barbecue Shrimp. I know Boyd's is a sponsor of yours, right?
Yes, that's right.
So you can get that fresh shrimp. And I will tell you, if you make this, you're going to love it. Anybody you serve it to is going to just, oh, man, it's fabulous stuff. It's called the Big Easy Barbecued Shrimp. And my mouth is watering right now. It's kind of hard to talk.
Well, tell us about it then.
Well, you know, of course, you get the shrimp, you peel the shrimp, you leave the tail segment intact, and then you make a sauce base in a large saucepan over medium heat. And then you gently cook them. You don't cook them outside. You don't barbecue them. You don't smoke them. And it involves some Creole seasonings, lemons, bay leaf, and you bring that sauce to a boil and strain that stock through kind of a fine mesh, and then you bring to boil over high heat and cook it until it's reduced to about a third of a cup, dark brown syrup, about 15 minutes worth, and that sauce base can be made up to like an hour ahead and stored at room temp. If necessary, you can reheat it into a fluid before you use it. And then you get a high heat skillet and some oil, and you add half the shrimp and spread them over a large layer. You turn the shrimp occasionally. You know, shrimp, you don't want to overcook them.
Right.
Man, the last thing you want to do is
they'll get tough.
Kind of cook them lightly. And then you repeat that, kind of cooking all the shrimp to like even, you know, stirring them often. Then you kind of stir in the sauce that comes with it slowly. And I'm salivating.
You are. I can tell.
I have a picture of it in front of me, and it's hard to look at it and not want one right now. And you sprinkle some chive on the end of it. I mean, it is a dish that will just blow your mind.
Yeah, and you remember the old saying that oysters are supposed to be best in the months with the letter R.
Yeah, yeah.
The oysters are just the beginning. There are other shellfish, too, like the shrimp and lobster and crab. But then we come around to
crawfish.
Oh, me, yes, yes, yes. Let's talk about, I married a woman, I swear, in her previous life. She used to be in a Piro on the bayou, them things. Beverly just loves that stuff, and she got me into really eating them. Seriously.
So do you guys do crawfish boils?
Oh, yeah. We'll have people over. We'll do at least once during the summer. But, you know, it's January, so it's in our month, right? So Boyd's must have them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, didn't you tell me they have, like, lots of crawfish?
Yeah, unbelievable. I walked through their freezer, Fred. You talk about blow your mind.
Yeah.
They had literally hundreds. They might have had even 1,000 45-pound bags of crawfish. And I turned to Jason and I said, Jason, how long does it take you to move all of this? And he went, oh, this will all be gone tonight.
Oh, man.
I mean, they distribute to a big grocery store chain. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. I buy them here locally at an HEB in Columbus, too, you know, when they're available. And they really have a great price on them. So Boyd's must have a real good price on them.
Well, for a big grocery chain, of course they do. But tell me how you do your crawfish boil.
Really pretty simple. You know, we everybody has a way they do it. When I have friends over who might be from Louisiana, they have a certain way they put them in. They let them steam a long time. I don't overcook them. I let them sit in that seasoning. And Bev loves them spicy and with a lot of that Tony Sacheries on there. She'll have a pile of it right next to her plate, and she'll dab them in there and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just follow, I guess, really pretty simple. I cook them for a couple of minutes. I don't overcook them. I don't like them overcooked, and I don't like them mushy. And if you overcook them, they kind of get that way. So find out what works for you and the flamethrower you use to cook them and your crawfish pot. Practice a little bit like I did and come up with what works for you and the equipment you have. And once you get it, write it down and remember it. That's about all. And, you know, we use lemon. We use the bags. We use a lot of cayenne in there. And I'm not a big corn and potatoes guy. I know that's kind of sacrilegious, but I save all my room for the crawfish. No, a true story. I mean, I like to eat a little bit of that on the side, but I didn't come here to eat vegetables, my friend.
Life is short.
Life's too short for vegetables. I'm here for the crawfish and mud bugs. Man.
Well, I also found a great recipe for oysters Rockefeller. It uses bacon, spinach, breadcrumbs, chopped green onions and parsley, and then the usual stuff, you know, salt and virgin olive oil, some pepper sauce, or a lot of pepper sauce. You clean the oysters, you fry the bacon, you boil the oysters, and then you put them back in the shell.
Really?
Yeah, then you chop all the ingredients. You don't turn them into puree.
Puree.
Okay, thank you. I have to depend upon Fred to tell me about these French words.
Well, that's a Louisiana word. That's French, yeah.
If you do it in a processor, it only takes about 10 seconds. Then you sprinkle all those ingredients on top of the oysters in the shell, and you put them on a hot grill for about 10 minutes.
Mm.
That gives them that smoky flavor. Then you broil them in the oven until they're brown on top, and you serve them hot out of the oven.
Wow, that sounds good.
Now, oysters Rockefeller.
I could eat that.
Yeah, I think Brennan's would even enjoy that recipe, don't you think?
Yes.
And just like those poor little oysters, or the crawfish, I suppose, this segment's time has run out.
Already?
So I leave you with these words of wisdom, my friend. You know you have true love when you find someone who will peel your crawfish for you.
Oh.
I love you, my friend. Talk to you next week.
You got it, brother. Love you, too.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on The Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something else.